Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Gardening Canada podcast, where we like to take science and apply it to all things plants. Today's podcast, we are going to be talking about how to shut down the garden. Hello and welcome to season two of the Gardening in Canada podcast. I'm your host, Ashley. I took a little bit of a break. Let's just say between YouTube, the website, you name it, things got busy this summer. So I took a little bit of relaxation and now we're back. Mostly because it started blizzarding outside. So I officially am going into hibernation, and indoors is the place I will reside now for probably the next 8 months. But all joking aside, this means we can start talking about things like shutting down the garden, because I know many of you around the world who do not live in Saskatchewan or Alberta are still enjoying sunshine. Rumor has it that Quebec and Ontario is still in plus 20 temperatures. I'm jealous. I'm officially moving. But that means you do still have some time to clean up your garden. So we're going to go over the two different ways that you could technically do this. The one you choose is going to kind of depend on what look you like, what benefits you want to see, that sort of thing. But ultimately, neither choice is the wrong choice. And both of them I've done in the past and I'm doing this year. So the first one is actually leaving everything in place. Now, some people really don't like this because it can look a little bit dirty or trashy, if you will, and it simply involves leaving all the stems, roots, shoots all in place. Now, there's several different benefits to this. One of the big ones that we often see on Instagram and kind of all over the place is that it supports a home for the macro fauna. And this is true. Macrofauna does like to overwinter in debris, whether that be debris leaves that are on your soil or on your lawn, or in standing tall and upright tomato plants still inside their cage. There will be some bugs in there. These macrofauna, as we like to call them, don't do particularly well if we stick them in a hot compost. So if you don't like the look of necessarily leaving everything in place, don't worry, you're not going to hurt the macrofauna by just raking them up and putting it in a pile. Now, obviously, you don't want to bag those leaves. You want to leave them exposed. You just want to keep them out of heat. So this could come in the form of a leaf bin, which is kind of like a grated bin. I have one. I'm sure I've shown it on YouTube, if not Instagram for sure, several times. It's got four sides. It looks kind of like a outdoor dog kennel type looking thing. And you can put your leaves in there. It allows the critters to come and go as they please. If they do come to life in the spring, then it gives them refuge where they're protected, but not composted or put into a bag. So that is one option if you don't want to leave everything in place. But what we often don't talk about when it comes to leaving things in place is the benefits of this outside of those beneficial macrofauna staying in or making that area a home. So besides the ladybugs and the bees and all that sort of stuff, we also see benefit for snow capture. This is true for places that get snow. So when we leave a tomato plant standing tall and proud, or a cucumber vine standing, you know, lacing all over the soil, it ends as a snow catch, or it acts like a snow catch, and it means that blowing snow or falling snow is able to land on the plant, kind of get tangled up in the leaves, the roots, the shoots, and fall in place. This can actually, if you're going through a drought or you need to work on water retention, or you simply just want to lessen that water bill in the spring, faster germination rates for your seeds, all that fun stuff, leaving those plants in place is going to be hugely beneficial for snow capture. Now, if you've already removed the plants and you're thinking, dang it, I should have left those in place, you can use other things for snow capture. You can use snow fences or just put those tomato cages in place. throw some burlap over them, or whatever. I mean, it could be a bed sheet, and that will, it on its own, just act as a really great snow capture. So you could give that a choice or a chance too. One thing I will say is leaving plants in their position, besides the snow capture, I do find, for me anyways, it helps keep my dogs out of the garden. So if it's going to help keep kids out of the garden, that's not a bad thing either. One thing with wet soil in the spring, I will say this till I'm blue in the face, wet soil, I don't care if it's sand, clay, loam, no-till, till, it gets compacted if you walk on it. You never, ever, ever want to walk on wet soil. This goes for your garden, your perennial beds, your vegetable gardens that you're going to seed, you name it. You do not want to walk on wet soil. So having something, a barrier to entry in the garden, or not so fun looking place, such as plants or pokey things sticking out, this may be a chance for you to curb some foot traffic on that area, which can ultimately compact and harm the soil porosity. And soil porosity is key. I mean, we've talked about it before, and soil porosity is important for allowing oxygen in, and oxygen feeds the microbes, the macrofauna, and the roots to help with just nutrient cycling and that sort of thing. But the other thing with the roots and the soil porosity is it allows for the roots to actually penetrate with ease some of that soil profile and actually aggregate it and break through it over time. So leaving those in place is never, ever a bad thing. Now, for some of us, we have maybe a front yard garden or the backyard we entertain in the winter. I could see many reasons for why you wouldn't want to leave leaves on the lawn or leaves on the garden. And most of it has to do with curb appeal. I get that. And so you may want to remove them. And for me, I don't have the guts to stand my ground and leave my plants upright and in the planters for the winter in the front yard, because I get a little bit nervous about maybe some angry neighbors. So I do actually remove the plants from the front. What I will say though is when I do remove those plants is I cut them off at the base. This is important. I leave the roots in place. This allows, again, for that soil porosity to form without damaging. If we yank a plant out, we are disrupting all the work we did all summer trying to work our way into that soil. If we cut it off at the base, remove the upper foliage, and leave the old foliage in place, we end up with some pretty major benefits, some of which include aeration once those roots actually decay. In the meantime, before the roots decay and leave their tunnels behind, they are food for macrofauna, and macrofauna produces waste, which feeds microfauna, and it's just a nice little ecosystem in your soil system. So when we actually remove or tug, we're doing, you know, not necessarily damage, but we're setting ourselves back, especially if we're in a no-till situation. If you normally till, and again, I really don't care what method of gardening you use, all of them work. I like all of them. I think all of them are applicable in different situations. But if you choose to till, then yeah, sure, give them a yank. It's not going to make a difference. But if you're doing a no-till or a low-till setup, maybe you're using some of the devices I showed over on the YouTube channel, or like the pitchfork and lift method or a double dig method, you may want to leave those in place, because it ultimately, all the aggregates could have, you know, micropores in there caused by the roots, which you'll see some great benefits too. So that is something to ultimately keep in mind. Now, when it comes to choosing fertilizers and that sort of thing, you can use your artificials and your synthetics or your organics in the fall. What we call this is a split application. Now, a split application is when we split what we normally put in the spring into half. And there isn't really any benefit to this on a gardening perspective, unless if we're doing it on a large scale. If we're doing it on a large scale, it allows us to have a little bit more time in the spring where we don't have to focus as much on actually fertilizing. One thing I will say with the split application though is that there is a number of different nutrients that are volatile, meaning that they aren't particularly stable in our soil, and they will leach or volatilize into the atmosphere or into the water below the roots, or the soil profile where the roots reside. And this is just, you know, nitrogen and that sort of thing. So to reduce losses, you may want to use like a nitrogen stabilizer. A slow release is always better than just straight regular nitrogen. But ultimately, otherwise, you don't have to necessarily fertilize. There's no real benefit to this. I'll do a separate podcast episode on watering in the fall and winter until the ground is actually frozen. This is going to be particular to trees, bush, and perennial plants, but in that case you would want to fertilize, and we'll get into why that is in that episode. But for the cases of just a bare ground, annual garden, container plots, raised beds, vegetable garden, that sort of thing, I don't see a need for fertilizer to be applied necessarily, and you may actually withstand more loss than good if you choose to apply in those winter months or in the fall months. The other thing is mulch. So if you lay mulch, if you watch my YouTube channel, you know I laid a ton of mulch this year. If you have disease or pest issues, flea beetles, powdery mildew, anything of that nature, you want to remove that old mulch. That old mulch is a great place for not only beneficial bugs to overwinter, but for the pests to overwinter as well. So regardless of if you're leaving the plants in place or if you're removing the plants, you want to make sure that mulch is removed if you've been having issues. If you haven't been having issues, you can leave that mulch in place. But keep in mind, you're going to hear me in the spring say, make sure you remove the old mulch and apply new stuff. Ultimately, it's kind of like crop rotation. It's one of those things where you just want to do it for prevention purposes. And so because of that, you're going to likely want to remove it whenever possible. So I like to remove it, toss in the compost, and get it back into circulation in a different form for the garden. And at this time, you would want to apply fresh mulch. So I've said remove the old mulch before, but I think I forgot a few times to say apply new mulch. You want to apply new mulch in the winter. This is very important. Winter and spring are perfect times for your topsoil to run away on you, and it will happen with such ease without any sort of mulch or covering in place. And this will happen because the water, when it melts, it's going to make little trenches and it's going to take off on you. One of the ways to prevent this is to mulch the area with some fresh mulch that will not have anything overwintering inside of it. The other thing is too, is that mulch on a perennial plant in particular, or on a tree or a shrub, is going to actually help capture some heat. So I did an episode here on the podcast a while back talking about mulch in general, when to apply it and that sort of thing in the spring. And one thing I mentioned was the mulch's ability to hold in heat in the soil, or, you know, regulate the temperature of the soil. And this is true when we apply mulch in the fall. If we apply mulch in the fall before the ground actually freezes, we have an insulating effect, and this insulating effect will keep that soil a little bit warmer. So if we have bulbs or plants that are maybe a little bit winter sensitive, applying that mulch, removing the old stuff, allowing it to really heat up in those last few months or those last few weeks, and then remulching it with some fresh stuff is really going to help hold in the heat, which is really going to make those roots happy on some of those more sensitive perennials. But there you guys have it, the ins and outs of closing down the garden this year. You guys have to let me know how you close down your garden. Make sure to rate this podcast, give it a thumbs up, whatever you do with podcasts on whatever platform you're watching it on. I always forget to ask you guys to do that. Please do so, and I will be here back next week. Same day, same time. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.